Welcome everyone to the American Carpet Podcast, where we discuss all things carp related in the USA. Featuring anglers' interviews, stories, and monthly competitions with traditional US and Euro anglers, fly anglers, and anyone who has a passion for this incredible fish, the carp, Cyprinus carpio. Much maligned and misunderstood, and undoubtedly one of the finest sport fish to be targeted here in the USA. This is where we, the guilty ones, can meet. My name is Sean Manning of the American Carp Society, and I'm grateful to be your host. Welcome, everybody. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't done so already. And please share with your friends on your social media. The more the word gets out, the more we can do for these great fish here in the USA. Today, our special guest is someone who is very well known throughout the US carp angling community and may have caught more large carp and sturgeon on the Columbia River than any other angler in the USA today. With a social media following of over 41,000, he is Mr. River Madness, Olivier Ganzerdy. Olivier, welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Okay. Hello, everybody.
So for those of you that don't know, Olivier is originally, I believe you're originally from France. Is that correct, Olivier?
Yeah, I'm originally from West Africa.
Okay.
Actually, you know, yeah, I'm from, my mom is from Guinea, Conakry, and my dad was from Congo.
Okay, and then you moved to France, didn't you, later on?
I was born in France.
Okay.
I was born in South France.
Okay, yeah. South of France. So you've got some phenomenal pictures of you when you were younger with some wonderful pictures of carp. I believe they were from the Seine.
Yeah, in Paris, yeah.
Yeah. And how long did you stay in Paris for before you moved to the USA? How long were you there for?
Oh, for a long time, you know. I was in Paris when I was from 7 to 14, I was in Africa.
Yeah.
Then I came back. I was like 14 years old, like 14 to 17. I was at 17, I came to the U.S. just for exchange student, you know.
Yeah.
Then, I don't even know. But after, I was in Paris for a long time. You know, I don't know, like, the date exactly.
Right. No, of course.
Just for a long time,
And can you...
That's my city.
Can you tell me that it seems that you have a huge love for it. Do you visit? Do you go back at all?
Since I'm in the U.S., I went to Paris just one time, just last year, actually, for... to present the movie that I did with my friend Yunes Gonzalez, River Madness.
Yeah,
we went to the convention, to the Montluçon Carp Convention,
right
over there, and present this movie. And so that's the only time I went back to France since I'm in the U.S. It's been 13 years.
Wow,
and I'm here.
Yeah,
yeah, just one time.
Yeah. Now, what was it initially when you first started fishing? Go take us all the way back to when you were a youngster. What was it initially about the carp as a species that really had you want to target them? Because obviously there's a lot of different species, you know, that we fish for when we're younger. Yeah. What was it specifically about the carp for you?
Well, I started fishing in Africa. I remember I was in vacation in Togo.
Right.
And, I started fishing there, like somebody gave me a stick with there was a hook on it, and a worm, and I caught a little catfish.
Right.
Then after I went back to France, because I was going to France to visit my grandma, and then she used to take me on the Seine River.
Yeah.
Fishing, you know, she bought my first rod and stuff, and I remember I was trying to I was fishing for a roach.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, wonderful
little
fish.
Roach and you know those fish, right?
Yeah.
I was fishing for roach and carp were jumping. I remember carp were jumping, and I was always like, wow, those fish, you know. And you know, that just caught my attention.
Yeah.
But they were bigger than everything else.
Yeah.
And you know, after I started fishing, I caught my first carp in a pond, actually, in south of France, on vacation. Then, you know, I stopped tagging them, you know. I was like 14.
Wow. They're very different than roach to fish for, aren't they?
Yeah.
Much bigger and more powerful. And, of course, over here in the USA, there is an abundance of carp. There's little to no roach. There are a few rudd in a few species in a few states and and stuff like that. And it looks from your older pics that you would on your social media that I've looked at, you'd fish right in the heart of the city in Paris.
Oh yeah, it's, you know, I didn't have the choice because that's where I was living, you know.
Yeah,
it's not like I was trying to do the street fishing type stuff, you know, because to me it was normal because I had nobody to take me fishing.
Gotcha.
I had nobody to take me fishing places, you know, so I go to the closest than I could, you know, and that's the heart of the city as well.
What was it like for you? What was it like for you fishing in the heart of the city? Because obviously the fish are much more popular over there than they are here. So you probably wouldn't necessarily get the crazy looks that you would here fishing for them downtown in a large metropolitan area. But did you night fish out there? Did you stay out all night? That type of thing? Or
I stayed all night. Yeah, I used to sleep on bench.
Yeah,
benches. Take my sleeping bag and put it on the bench on the rods in front of it, like on some rails.
Yeah.
You know.
Did you ever have any problems in the middle of a big city at night, young angler sleeping on a bench fishing with carp?
I'm from the city, you know, so I know people.
Right.
So that makes a difference. I know people. I know who's who in the game over there.
Gotcha.
You know? You can fool me. I know, but it's dangerous.
Yeah,
it's dangerous at night. Yeah,
yeah.
Even during the day, but you know, no, I never had problem. Like I don't have problem with people most of the time.
What would you say, Olivier, that your biggest challenge was fishing in the city? When you look at it now, because obviously you can fish on the Columbia and that type of thing. If you look at the differences between the two, what was the biggest challenge as an angler that you faced fishing in the city?
Well, it's all about like how you know the river. Like my strength is I know the river better than the other anglers.
Right.
So the challenge is to know your river, like to know where the fish are going to be, when they're going to bite and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the challenge everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, everywhere, like when I first got here too, like on the Columbia, when I saw the giant Columbia River, I was like, wow, how am I going to do that? You know?
Yeah.
You know? So Paris is the same, like the Seine River is not as big, but it's pretty complicated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like, to me, it's not a big river anymore. Like the Seine is not a big river. It used to be a big river, but it's not anymore. And yeah, because there's no information. It was the same. Like, there was no information. At the time when I started fishing the city, there was nobody doing it. It was not, as I say, it was not in fashion yet.
Yeah.
Like, it became street fishing, urban fishing, and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it was just fishing, you know. So there was no information. I just had to do it on my own. I used to take my bike at night and just go, you know, up and down the river. You know, in the stretch of the river and see where the carp were jumping.
Did they move? Did they move around a lot on the river?
Some do and some don't.
Yeah,
yeah. Some just stay in the same place, you know. And some do. Yeah, those wild commons that they'll cross the river, but some big mirrors they will stay at the same place.
Right. Then there's some beautiful shots of you. There's one shot of a mirror that you're holding. It looks like a beach ball. It's almost completely round.
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
It's beautiful, beautiful shots.
Big fish.
Yeah.
Big fish over there.
And I know you have some friends. You mentioned you mentioned youngers. I know Arnaud Drouville, who's American Carp Society member in California, he's French angler and stuff as well. Do you guys all get – do you get to fish together – with your friends a lot? Yeah.
Oh, you mean Arnaud? Yeah, Arnaud, that's my boy. Yeah, we fished together not too long ago. He came sturgeon fishing with me, when was it, like a few weeks ago.
Oh, okay.
yeah, and we fished the Snake River together, we fished Blackfoot Reservoir together,
yeah.
We fished the Columbia together, we fished the Willamette. Yeah, we fished a bunch. He's the only person that I fish with here.
Awesome. Now tell me about the film that you shot and that you went over to France for and that type of thing. How did all that come about?
I had the River Madness thing what happened? How did that? It's with my friend Eunice. You know Eunice Gonzalez, right?
Yeah. And great angler, photographer, wonderful photographer too. Yeah. Beautiful work.
Yeah. So him, we know each other. I used to be part of a Carp Crossing. That's how I met him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came visit me first time. We fished for sturgeon because he came too early to fish for carp. So we made a little video and stuff, and he really liked it here. And he connected himself with a channel, like a TV channel called Zone Poisson.
Right.
And I don't know how that. I don't even remember how that get to be.
Years ago.
No, it's not too long. No, but it's not. No, it's like 3 years ago. It's not too long, you know. But and then he came here, and then with a cameraman, and we filmed the movie.
That's great. Madness.
Yeah. Yeah, on the Columbia, we fished the Columbia. It was a good time.
I know you love the Columbia, obviously. It's your local river there. And obviously, you know, there's some incredible fish in there as well. Mm-hmm. What would you say your favorite river or venue is outside of the USA to fish? Would it be the Seine or what?
Yeah, the Seine. Like, you know, me, it's like... I'm not an angler that went all over the place because, as I told you, I had nobody to take me fishing. I was not like in the carp world, like, you know, I was. So I didn't fish that many places when I think about it.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't go in France. I didn't fish or Saint-Cassien or that, you know, all the the tour. Like, I didn't do that because I couldn't, you know. So honestly, the Seine and the Seine is one of my favorite places. You know, that's where I really started carp fishing, river carping, you know.
And I saw an old picture of you with a bunch of friends sitting on a dock, I think, in Mauritania from many years back. Many years back. Were you guys all fishing?
Fished from the surf casting, fished on the beach.
Yeah.
Used to fish in Mauritania. I went twice there. Fishing.
Who would you say? Yeah. And you have to think. I believe you said that your grandmother was the one that bought you first fishing rod or something.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to thank grandmother definitely. But who is your biggest influence? Do you think growing up? Did you have any influences growing up as an angler, Olivier?
Not too much. You know, I kind of. Build myself on my own, you know, because there was nobody looking like me, you know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, all the carp world was far away from me, you know. It's like it was a different world, you know. So yeah, I don't know if I had a big influence. I had an angler that I looked, you know. I used to buy like fishing magazine and stuff, you know, but. Anything was just a different world for me. It was not my world.
Yeah. It seems like you created your own niche based.
Yeah,
you had to out of necessity. And you know, you created your own carp angling world through.
Yeah, you know, I did. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Even in France was the same. Yeah. You know, it was different at the time. The angling scene was like you couldn't enter that place, you know. It was like a sect, you know, to me. Yeah. It was not, you couldn't, you know, me, I had nothing to do with all those anglers, you know.
Yeah. And also over in France as well, and I mean, there's a lot of, there are on the restrictions over there can be quite, they can be quite harsh in some areas with the privatization of some of the lakes and stuff over there, obviously, as well. So, you know, having the Seine right on your doorstep with all those wonderful fishing there, you really didn't need to go that far, did you? I mean, it's all right there on
I didn't try to go to no lake and stuff, you know. I always been hooked on rivers, you know.
Yeah.
So, and when the Seine was...
When you moved to the USA, when you first came over here, did you move directly to Oregon? Is that the first place you moved to in the USA?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife, she's from here.
Okay, awesome. Awesome. Yeah. And you have children too, because I saw there was a great picture of you. There was a great picture of your two children when they were really, really young. Both of them were fishing, and they're obviously they're great. They're getting older now. I saw a picture of your son, who's obviously much older. Do they still fish at all? I mean, do they still have any interest in it?
No. My daughter, she come with me. You know, she come with me fishing. She does come with me, my daughter. But my son is wild, so.
he's a wild.
The wild beast, so. I don't know.
so they have. Think about it, Olivier, because when we were that age, how old is your son now? How old is he?
He's 19.
Right. So when we were 19, there was none of the distractions that they have now.
Oh no!
Was
there? For sure.
There was no distractions.
No, not like that.
I mean, there was. It wasn't like the the internet and everything.
No. We didn't have all that. I was outside at 19.
That's right. Happy with a stick and a hook, right?
Oh yeah.
That's funny. So tell us about the Columbia River and why you love it so much. As a venue, because there's some stunning carp in there as well, and is it a powerful? I've never fished it. Is it a fast moving, powerful? It looks like a very powerful large river, a little bit like the St. Lawrence. Is that the case, or?
Yeah, it's 10,000 cubic meter per second, like really strong current. Wow. Yeah, it's. It's a giant river, you know, it's huge. So when I first got here, when I saw it, I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay. I'm like, I'm going to put this river on the map.
Yeah.
So I told my wife, I said, watch, I'm going to put the Columbia River on the map. Everybody going to know the Columbia.
And they do.
That's what. Yeah, now everybody in the world knows the Columbia.
They do. Mm-hmm. They know the madness that goes on there because of your post. Now, is it, it's got pretty heavy flow. You said, obviously, it's got quite a heavy...
You cannot fish too far away from the bank. Yeah. For carp, you can't fish too far.
Gotcha. How far out, because of the flow, how far out, what are you looking at before it gets too ridiculous to challenge, to fish for them?
Well, depends of where you're fishing, you know. Mm-hmm. Depends the stretch. But, like, usually you fish about... Like if you fish 20 yards, that's good.
Yeah, because they're probably still slower at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pulling though.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So you don't fish far.
And in regards to that, what I did want to ask you specifically is you fished that river now for many years. You fished it for a long time. So I'm sure you have your areas and your spots, that you know. But how do you approach baiting for them, just as for the listeners that have never fished a heavy flowing body of water, can you bait for them because the flow is so much? I mean, it's just all gonna just go.
Okay, there's like it depends. Like if you fish the lower Columbia, mm-hmm. You don't bait really because this is a tidal.
Gotcha.
You know, so the fish just move with the tide is right for them. Right. So your baiting don't do nothing.
Yeah, you'll lose it. It's just gone.
Yeah, and you don't. The fish will just move into the spot when the tide is right for them.
Gotcha.
You know the whatever you put in the water won't do nothing till they come naturally.
Yeah, and when they come, do you fish for them? And again, this is to break it down for somebody. You know, you're fishing a tidal river as well. Do you just have at it with the method ball? Do you introduce any loose feed at all when they're in the swim?
Yeah. You put some method that is really. I do my method really sticky.
Yeah,
you know my method don't break down like that. Like it doesn't break down really.
Yeah.
And also because if you do a method like on those river when there's a lot of current, mm-hmm. like if it doesn't break down, the carp stay on the spot.
Yeah,
because they keep hitting the method. You know, they hit the method. You know, Mm-hmm. Hit it, boom, boom. They stay on the spot till they break it.
Gotcha.
If your method is breaking right away, those carp will go.
They're gone.
They won't stay. Yeah.
Yeah.
You then cannot keep them. So like the key is to, okay, let me tell you, the key on those big river is to find already the breakdown, you know, like when you know, when you get there, you see and it's breaking right away, you know, like there's death right there on the bank. That's what you're looking for.
Gotcha.
You're looking for the right there. It's got to be like not too far away than, you know, there's got a little bit of bank and suddenly, bim, it's breaking.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for.
Okay.
Because you don't want to fish far. Yep. So you don't want that to be 40 yards to find like 10, 12 feet of water or 14 or 16 feet or 20 feet of water, you know, you don't want to cast.
Right.
So you want to find the deep water right away.
Gotcha.
So you fish under the tip.
Yeah, as close to the shore as you can.
Yes, yes. Already, so you can be like precise.
Yep. That makes a lot of sense, Olivier, because if they get out in that, if you have a big fish and it gets out in that flow, they're gone, aren't they? There's nothing that you can do.
Yeah, just to be comfortable with your fishing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like really fighting the fish. Well, it's another thing, you know. But ask Wayne. Wayne, he fought the fish from the Colombia. He fought the carp from the Colombia, and he said those are the most powerful fish that he fought.
Yeah.
And he didn't even fish. He fished the Colombia in some area that was not even a large stretch.
Right.
You know?
Right.
I didn't take him like up east where there's some bigger fish and stuff.
Yeah.
You know? Because those fish are so powerful. It's crazy.
And they have to be. I mean, I've always found, too, fishing on the St. Lawrence, exactly what you're saying. Those river fish, because they're fighting the current much more than a fish in a, you know, in a dormant piece of water in a lake,
oh yeah,
so to speak, they do fight completely differently.
Oh yeah.
Violent. Yeah, they do fight completely. Now, what do you use when you're targeting them? Do you just use particles? Do you introduce boilies at all? Is it, do you see a difference on the rivers?
No, like it just depends what I'm fishing. If I'm fishing over the dams,
mm-hmm,
I can bait up, you know, because, you know, it's just going to be the flow of the river. It's not going to be tidal.
Right.
Over the dams. But like on the lower, like as I say, on the lower, I don't bait up or nothing. But when I go up east and stuff, yeah, I can bait up when I get there, you know, and fish over it. You know, I can bait up with boilies.
Yeah.
Boilies and particles, you know.
Yeah.
And fish over it. And then at night I don't fish, like, because you get so much runs during the day, then night
you need to sleep.
Not fishing. Yeah, you're not fishing at night. It's ridiculous to fish at night.
Yeah. I would imagine too that you have to you got to use pretty stout tackle, heavy leads, I would imagine, and sharp large hooks. What type of thing are you using?
I'm using a 4 to 6 ounce lead.
Mm-hmm.
Not less than that. And as I say, my method is like
sticky. That's adding another pound.
Oh yeah, my method is really—it's not moving. It's not going nowhere.
Yeah,
my method is sticky. You know, then add that. I'm using like size 2 hooks.
Yeah,
from the size 2. Really simple. I mean, you know, I'm not like a technician of rigs technician and stuff. You know, fish river, so. No.
Well, on those big rivers, it's got to be simple because there's too much flow. You don't, you know, those are big wild fish.
There's no need. No. Yeah, and then those, yeah, there we go. There's some wild fish. There's no need to be all fancy.
Yeah.
You know, no.
And what about the distribution of mirrors and commons there? What do you see there? Are there many mirrors in there? Or
there's mirrors. Yeah, there's mirrors. Depends where you're going. Like if you go more up east, you'll find more mirrors. Find more mirrors there than on the lower. You know, I caught quite a few mirrors over up east on the Colombia, like 3 hours away from where I'm at.
Let me ask you a question. Have you found any difference in the way that a common and a mirror fight in the river?
Not really here because they got the same shape.
Right.
In Europe, yeah. In France, yeah. I will know if it's a mirror or common.
Yeah.
Even by the take.
Yeah.
But here they got the same shape.
And the reason I ask, because there's a lake that I fished out here. It's a lake, and the fish, uh-huh. even though they're very similar shape, you can the mirror, you can tell immediately it doesn't fight like the common does in this lake, and that's why I wanted to ask. I think it may have something to do with the fact that they're river fish as well, because they both you know, the mirror and the common in the river, they both have to fight the current exactly the same amount, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah, they build the same, you know, they build the same here. Like I remember the Seine, now in the Seine River, yeah, I remember those mirrors.
Yeah.
I knew when it was a mirror, even though it's a river.
Yeah.
You know, because they like a lot more rounded, so they fight under the tip too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they will circle or they will take line, but not as fast, you know.
Yeah.
Than those commons. But here it's hard to say. You know, here there's not really a difference.
They're very similar. Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So tell me about, I know as well as your carp fishing, I know you love sturgeon fishing as well. And you've got some incredible sturgeon pictures on your Instagram. And I know that you do that a lot. I want to talk about that a little bit, obviously, even though carp is up, because they're an incredible fish. And I saw what must be a sturgeon rig in one of your pictures. Now, I've never fished for them, so I want you to help me. It looks like the bait on the sturgeon rig is wrapped around a large hook with some wire or something. Is that the case?
With some stretchy string, you know, some stretchy...
Like elastic?
Yeah, elastic line that you wrap the herring or the squid or the sand shrimp on a 6-0 hook,
right?
6 or 7-0, you know.
Yeah.
And I do like a three-way swivel rig,
like a pattern oyster rig that we'd use for cod fishing. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, like that, you know, and because it doesn't tangle.
Yep.
Because like I'll cast over 100 yards with this, you know.
That was what I was going to ask you with targeting them. So can you help the listeners? What is the biggest difference that you see with targeting sturgeon and targeting carp in terms of your approach of baiting or pre-baiting or not?
But
just talk us through that if you can.
Okay, well, when you fish for sturgeon in Colombia, it's like you're fishing in the ocean, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like you surf casting. You know, it's like you fishing, on the beach.
Yeah.
You know, just like bait, 8 ounce or 10 ounce.
Yeah.
And I know again, with the knowledge of the river, because
mm-hmm.
they migrate, so you got to know at that time where they at. You know.
Yeah. Because they're moving out to the sea, aren't they? And they're moving back from the sea.
Yeah, yeah, they're going to the ocean.
Yeah.
And then they come back in September. They start coming. I mean, they've been, you can find them year-round. You can catch them year-round if you follow them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So in the Colombia, during the summer, it's good. You find them in the Colombia, then anytime soon, they're going to be in the Willamette. So I'm going to be catching them in Portland, downtown and stuff next month.
Right.
You know, so, but it's like there's no baiting, no pre-baiting, you know, since again, some wild fish, you know, they just travel, they stay places for a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, they will stay one place because there's a lot of clams.
Yeah.
So they'll eat those clams. Then when they're done with the clams, they move.
Gotcha.
You know, so
you have to know, you need to know where the clam beds are, don't you?
You need to know, you know, yeah, you need to know when they're coming back to the river.
Mm-hmm.
When they're coming back to the river and where they're going to be and then how long they're going to stay. You're going to be fishing, catching sturgeon. Then one day you come and there's none. They're all gone.
They're gone.
They're all gone, yeah. Then you find them somewhere else.
What are you looking? What are you looking for in with the? And what depth are they in? Where you're, because you know you're casting that far out. In we know as anglers what to look for to target a carp in terms of the topography of the lake, looking for shelves and drop offs and that type of thing. Can you tell us outside of just there where the clams are? What are you looking for at the bottom of the lake, topography wise?
There's nothing that you look for. No, it's just the when they're gonna pass by there.
I see.
There's no like a feature like drop off. I mean, you can look for some deep water, and it's not even the case. Like there's everybody like a sturgeon like deep water. Mm-hmm. We're catching sturgeon in 8 to 10 feet of water, like during the summer when there's a lot of current, like some area who's got a lot of current, yeah. But they need current, they will feed. But it's just you got to know where they're gonna be.
Right.
There's nothing like I can look and say, wow, yeah, there's sturgeon here. Yeah, there's especially on the lower against the lower Colombia. Mm-hmm. It's totally different than the like when you go above the dam, because above the dam it's in between two dams, it's not the same.
Right.
The current always flow in the same direction. And if you fish the lower, it's tidal. So sometimes they bite when the tide's going out, sometimes they bite when the tide's coming in, depending on the spot. And there's a lot of things, but there's no feature of the river.
Yeah.
That will tell you, yeah, there's sturgeon or not, or there's no sturgeon.
It's more the time of the year, isn't it? From what you're telling me, when they're moving and they're migrating.
The knowledge again, to catch them, to be successful with sturgeon, you got to know the river.
Yeah.
After the technique, there's not, there's no pre-baiting, there's no baiting. Are they going to be there and taking bait, or they're not going to be there?
Gotcha.
There's nothing that you can do like carp fishing to make them come.
That's the challenge with it that I can see. Yeah. And they get so, I mean, they can live till, like 140 years and stuff, can't they?
Yeah.
They get really old.
Yes.
What's the largest one that you've caught out of there, Olivier? Do you know?
About like seven or eight feet.
Wow.
Yeah. I caught some bunch of 7-footer, I think. I caught a big one this year, but I don't measure.
No.
I don't measure nothing. I don't weight nothing. So I just fish.
Yeah.
That's the weight. And I don't know. So I caught a major fish this year though.
Do you have any, I know you love both species. What is it about sturgeon fishing that you like more so, let's say, than carp fishing and vice versa? Because they're both different approaches.
Okay.
One of them is like sea fishing, they're totally different.
Yeah. Yeah. What I like, well, carp fishing is, is a little bit more technical,
mm-hmm.
Because as I say, you can keep them, you can prepare your spot, you can prepare, pre-bait, and you see the evolution in carp fishing, when you get to the spot, then you bait up, then you see, your rods start banging, there's all that, all those stuff, fish start showing on your spot and stuff like this, So
yeah.
this I love about the approach of carp fishing, there's like an evolution in your fishing.
Yeah.
You just don't get there and everything happens. Sometimes it can happen like that, but most of the time, you set up, the gear and all that. Then
a lot of preparation.
Yes. Then you see your spot start getting, alive, And so this I like. It takes more time. Sturgeon fishing, only one rod, your bait, and casting out.
Right.
So, I mean, what I like, it's like you can go sturgeon fishing just like...
Bang, simple.
Yeah, just like one rod. You got your backpack, one rod.
Yeah.
Your rod holder that you put in the sand or in the middle of the rocks, You cast out, and you sit down and you watch. You watch the tip.
You know what? You just reminded me of something, which is the reason why... Like when Wayne and I first came over here, why we were so happy to find carp as opposed to bass or bluegill. So let's go back. Let's go back to a species that you mentioned earlier on. You mentioned fishing for roach in France, right?
Mm.
So
yeah.
The beauty of fishing for and I'll explain why I'm giving this parallel, because with carp, you can you do a lot of preparation, and you can build you can build a swim. You can build a swim. Like you could in coarse fishing, you could build a swim from nothing, attract the fish, put the work in, and then see the benefits. And that was the difference between approaching a coarse fishing or going piking or perch fishing with one rod, a dead bait, and you're just wandering and you're casting.
Right.
So it's a similar thing, isn't it? It's a, a similar thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what I like about sturgeon fishing, you know.
Benefits about both, isn't there? If you just want to get out there, keep it simple, bam, you could go sturgeon fishing. If you want to spend more time and build a swim, you can,
yeah, you can go carp fishing. I mean, the two species are totally different, you know.
Yeah.
Also, you know, both those sturgeon. I know when he came fish for sturgeon, I put him on some sturgeon when he came.
Yeah, I know.
I remember he had to sit down. He had to sit down for a minute. I can't remember that. He caught the first one.
Yeah.
He sat down on the chair. I'm like, what are you doing?
Having a rest.
Down. Oh, yeah. Because on the rough area on the Colombia, I didn't take him to, I took him to a rough area. There was a lot of current. The sturgeon, so strong, they will break you down.
Yeah.
Oof, that was crazy. I remember he had to sit down. I always remember, I was like, what are you doing? At the first one, but after, like, you know, well, I'm used to catch him like this, you know?
Yeah.
But like when you're not used to it.
Oh, yeah. They'll take it out
of you. You're going to feel your, yeah, you're going to feel your back.
Yeah.
You're going to feel your back. Yeah. They're really strong.
Wow.
Yeah. They're interesting fish. You should come and fish for them one time.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to. Yeah. Do you do any saltwater fishing at all?
No, not really. Like Oregon, I don't know what it is, but the coast here, like, they fish for surf perch only.
Right.
You know? So me, I would like to fish from the, you know, from the shore.
Yeah.
But like catching shark or, you know, big ray or stuff like this. This is I don't know what's going on in Oregon, like, too much about the ocean fishing. I try to look and see. I never found anything like interesting, you know.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it's like, yeah, everybody talk about surf perch. Or,
why would you fish for a surf perch when you can catch a sturgeon in the Columbia, though?
That's that's what I'm saying. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to drive to the to catch a surf perch with a trout rod when I can fish with a heavy surf rod for some heavy 6-footer that jump out of the water and clear out the
course.
Water.
Yeah.
You know? But that's me.
That's funny. Yeah. Hey, have you ever tried fly fishing at all?
No.
It's becoming really popular, Olivio, for carp over this last few years. There's a lot of fly anglers have done a wonderful job with actually helping to promote the species. You know, through the Instagram and stuff like that. A lot of traditional Euro style anglers this last year. It's funny because I've seen them. Hey, I got my first fly rod. I'm going to start to try to fish for them on the fly.
Oh, yeah. Well,
you know,
I don't know. I'm just, I'm not been into, especially, here on Colombia, it's popular.
Yeah.
There's a lot of flats here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the social media side of things, because you have an incredible following on social media. You've done a wonderful job of building all of that up with the pictures and that type of thing that you take, and the documentation of the fish. And we've found over the past 3 to 4 years specifically, I mean, our whole the American Carp Society position has been presenting the fish in a manner to the public that they cannot look down on it, because it's just so beautifully presented. And I mean, you know this, you're aware of this. You can't look at a well-structured picture with a beautiful fish in it and call it trash, because it's not.
No, because, yeah.
So tell me, how did you first, when did you first start getting involved in Instagram and social media? And give us a story. Yeah, give us a story.
The story is, again, this man called Wayne Boone, he came visit me, and he fished with me, so we fished. And then one day he told me, hey, why don't you make an Instagram? I didn't even know what Instagram was. I was like, what? Instagram, what is it? He's like, yeah, you post your pic and stuff. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to try. Really, I didn't know about it.
Right.
He told me about it, so I was like, okay. Then I start posting pics, you know. Then I start understanding how it works, you know. And then I guess things happened, like people start following me, you know?
Yeah.
Seeing what I was doing, people got interested. I got, you know, some stuff out of that, you know?
Mm.
But
it built really quickly, didn't it, for you? I mean, relatively
yeah,
so.
Yeah, it takes like about 10,000 followers a year.
Yeah, that's amazing, yeah. Man. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But you do, you got some great pictures on there, though, Olivia. A lot of it, I mean, your content is phenomenal, man. Some of those pictures that you have, actually, some of my favorite pictures of yours are the ones of the sturgeon.
The sturgeon is really good for the pics of sturgeon. Yeah, they come out nice.
They're beautiful because they have this. Yeah. There's one of them. They have this pattern on there, and I never knew it. I never really saw that until I saw one of your pictures. They have heads. They have these patterns, don't they?
Yeah. Some plates, some patterns, like. Yeah. When you get a close up of that, you'll see, and they're all different.
It's like crazy. A mirror carp. It's a thumbprint, isn't it? It's totally
right. Yes.
It's totally unique.
Yeah. They're amazing, man. They're amazing fish. They will cut you though.
Oh, they will.
They cut like razors.
Wow.
And my hands are all cut. My arms are all cut by sturgeon.
Wow.
You know, that's why you see me sometimes with gloves on picks.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, because they cut. They got this scoot on the side, and they cut. They even cut your line like this.
Wow.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Yeah, they're really sharp.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, are there any other venues in the USA that you haven't fished yet that you would like to fish? You mentioned you've gone, obviously, you've fished Blackfoot and Snake River and that type of thing. Are there any other places you'd like to visit?
Yeah, I would like to fish Lake Michigan.
Okay, yeah, that's a massive fish in there.
You know. Yeah, I would like to fish Lake Michigan. There's something Lake Michigan I would like to fish. Well, the St. Lawrence, it would be like the Columbia to me.
It's the same, probably.
Not,
yeah.
Yeah, it would not be. I mean, you know, I will fish it. You know, I will fish it.
Yeah.
But Lake Michigan, yeah, I would like to fish this huge lake. I would like to fish Lake Michigan. Some rivers, probably some other rivers in like, I don't know what's the Mississippi like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mississippi, there'd be some carp in there. I'm sure.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but I never heard. I don't see nobody fishing the Mississippi.
Maybe you could go up and give it a shot.
Yeah. Do you know anybody that fish the Mississippi?
You know what? Like, you just mentioned that. I don't. I don't.
I've been fishing. I've been thinking about that for years.
Yeah. There's got to be some like massive fish in there.
I know there is.
There's got to be.
I know there is. Well, yeah. That's the Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah. Come on now.
Come on now.
What would you say? What's your most, if you could go back in your life, for you as an angler, what is your most memorable capture to date for you? And it doesn't have to be the biggest, obviously. I mean, is there anything that really stands out for you?
You know, I don't like those type of questions, right?
That's why I asked. That's why I asked.
That's why you asked. Right? to pick. No, I don't know. Like,
because you've caught so many. Listen, you've caught so many. You've caught some incredible fish, man. You have. You've caught some incredible sturgeon. You caught a lot of fish. So it's harder. It probably would be harder. I just wondered if there was anything where, you know, that really stood out for you.
I mean, like, okay. Just this year,
mm-hmm.
I had the biggest fight of my life with a fish. This year, like not like even maybe a month ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had the biggest fight. I never felt the power of a fish like this. Like, you know, I went fishing on the Columbia, some rough area on the rocks, fishing for sturgeon.
Mm-hmm.
And I caught two what we call shakers, those little ones.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I cast my rod and I sat down and and it was quiet, and suddenly my rod had a little bump, just the tip went. Mm-hmm. Then after I just went slow and start running. So I tried to take the rod out of my holder, but I was already so heavy, it was difficult.
Wow.
Pick up the rod. So listen. So the fish was hooked, Then what I do, you know, I fish with those multiplier reel, yes. conventional reel.
Yeah.
You know, and so I start putting my thumb on the spool.
Right.
And the fish start running, taking the current. He ran so fast that I was burning my thumb.
Oh wow.
So already it was burning, like I couldn't even put my thumb on. That's how the run was. So the fish took about 200 yards out of my reel,
right.
and jump. You know, it's like a fridge.
Like a fridge.
Yeah, it jumped. I caught it. I caught it.
A sturgeon.
Then a sturgeon.
Okay.
Oof. And that was I never had a fight like this. So he ran, went down the river,
mm-hmm.
and my line, there's some piling in this river,
okay.
In the Colombia, and my line was touching the piling. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna break off, you know, just a matter of time,
right?
You know,
right.
And I hold the rod, and I was like, I couldn't give more line to that fish. You know, it was going to finish my reel. You know, it was going to peel my reel. So I just hold it. And I'm on the rocks, so I couldn't go forward or nothing. I couldn't move.
Wow.
I'm on some big rocks, and there's no, I cannot walk. Like some places I can walk on the beach to follow and stuff. I can't.
Right.
I couldn't go nowhere. So okay. I just to stay on my rock and hold that rod. And I turned the fish around. Then far away, I saw his like his fins, mm-hmm. like a shark.
Wow.
That's just like, that was great. I was by myself.
Yeah.
So I just had videos of that fish. I don't have no pics.
Right.
You know, I don't have no pics.
Right.
And I turned around and I saw him. He was swimming up in the current, up. He was swimming upstream.
Right.
Just I saw his fins, but like far away, you know. So I'm like, oh my gosh, I turned it around. Then after he disappeared, then I fired it and I brought it to the shore and wow. unhook it.
Wow.
And it was nuts.
Wow.
It was crazy. So this is something that
That's great.
I will never forget.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's funny, when you first were telling me of your experience, my first thought was, that's probably a bull shark, or it's probably a shark. Before you told me it was a sturgeon, when you said it was a fridge and it just started taking off, because you know, bull shark have been known to travel up into tidal. So I thought, and that was another question I was going to ask you, have you ever had another species pick up the sturgeon bait? Have you ever had it?
Yeah, you can have sometimes. You can have some catfish, some squarefish, then we call also a northern pike minnow.
Yeah, have you ever had a shark?
No.
Okay.
They don't come up here.
They don't come up that far, because I know they. I know they can. There's been. I know down in Florida.
Yeah, in Florida. Yeah, I know.
You know, they've been caught in the tidal waters and stuff like that. That's incredible,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That sounds like that was an incredible fish. When you said it was like a refrigerator.
Yeah, but you know, it takes so much line out, and then suddenly. Oof, I'm seeing this thing jumping. I'm like, oh no.
Wow.
Yeah. And I landed it. I was by myself. I remember I landed it. I was like, no, that's crazy.
That's great, yeah. man.
Yeah. So that's like, you know, and it's like a month ago. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah. I had a lot of, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to tell you anything, you know, but. I have a lot of memories in my head of crazy moment.
Yeah,
yeah, you know,
madness. River madness, man.
I'm not even in camera. You know, big carp in the sand. Or
I understand now why you use that term, the river madness. Now you've got you've got refrigerators swimming around out there.
You got river Volkswagen jumping. You got school bus swimming.
That is funny.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Olivier, thank you so much, brother, for taking the time to go through this. I've really enjoyed it. Hearing your exploits and on the Great Columbia River.
Yeah.
Well, that's about all we have time for today, everyone. I'd like to thank our guest, Olivier Ganzazi, for all of his help and time with this. If anybody has questions for you, Olivier, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you?
Well, on my Instagram, you know, they can send me a message, you know, if they want to try to come fish for sturgeon, I do a little bit of guiding.
Okay.
So, yeah, if people want to come test them skills with the with the ultimate fighter, they can.
Catch some
you know, I got gear. I got the all gear and you stuff. Do? They just have to, they just have to come here.
So if anybody out there wants to catch a refrigerator with fins,
contact me.
Olivier, and he'll put you on some prehistoric monsters.
Yeah, well, at least we'll try. No, but sales, like, when, if people want to come fishing, what I do, I make sure, you know, it's the right time.
Yeah.
I won't tell nobody, I go scout out, I see what's going on.
Awesome.
on this stretch, and they'll come, and when they come, I'm usually on point.
I'm sure you are. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll be back here the same time, same place, a few weeks from now. So don't forget to join us. You can reach out to us here at the American Carp Society through Facebook and Instagram, Pinterest and Twitter. Tag us with your captures with hashtag American Carp Society and hashtag Join the Guilty Ones, and we will feature you on the feed. You can contact me directly with any questions that you have, Sean at AmericanCarpSociety.com. Be lucky.